I've just printed the four truths that we covered in last weekend's message. Number one, spiritual gifts work differently through different people. Number two, spiritual gifts should lead to humility, not pride. Number three, spiritual gifts are given as determined by the Holy Spirit and us. And number four, spiritual gifts are given so we can serve others, not ourselves. And that message is on the website now if you missed out on it. So I want to continue from there, looking at other things that we need to know in regard to operating spiritual gifts. And so number five is spiritual gifts can weaken with neglect. Let's go together to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1. Just after 1 Timothy if you're lost. Paul is writing here to Timothy, who's senior pastor of a large church, Ephesian church, and estimates are that around 60,000 people in Ephesus were part of this church family, which is not too shabby at all, is it? Church of 60,000 people in the second largest city of the world of New Testament days. So the biggest city was Rome and the second biggest city was Ephesus. And so I want to pick this up with you from verse 3, just to get some of the background information here. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did. And so he's starting here to talk about the blessing of generation, okay, the blessing of generational faith. Paul's forefathers were of a Jewish faith, and so was Paul, of course, until he was converted and confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord, as his Messiah. But he was still thankful for what was passed down through the generations of faith in God. And so I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you, Timothy, in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, and look at this, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Isn't that fascinating truth? And so Paul actually met this whole family when he was traveling. And if you have a look at Acts chapter 16 at some point, verses 1 to 3, just make a note of that, Acts 16, 1 to 3, you can read about the first meeting of Paul with his family. And he met Timothy, who was already a disciple, so someone had led him to faith in Christ, and he was a disciple of Jesus, and it talks about Timothy's mum, who was a Jewish lady who had been converted to the Christian faith, but then it says that his dad was a Greek, and so it was kind of a mixed marriage, and there's no reference there to his father having converted to Christianity. And so that's why, as we read there, he's talking about faith that was passed from a woman to a woman to a man. So the grandmother's name was Lois, the mother's name was Eunice, and then this same faith being passed through generations landed on Timothy. And here we have this amazing young man, probably in his 30s or 40s at this particular point in time, which was considered young for a church leader back in those days. And this faith that was resident in him. The only problem was this gifted young man was starting to shrink back under opposition. If I can give you some history, Nero had just become emperor of the Roman Empire. And so for those of you who know anything about history, this was not a good time, especially for Christians. They ended up being lions' lunches on a regular basis. It would have been interesting evangelism and discipleship back in those days. Let me tell you about a savior. His name is Jesus. And if you accept him, the likelihood is that you will be a lion's lunch within a month. You know, anyone here? Just close your eyes, bow your heads. Anyone like to? I see that hand, which we won't see in about 4 weeks' time. Very, very different to the way it's done this day and age. And so here's Timothy starting to shrink back because of persecution and opposition, which is being unleashed upon the church. And so that's why Paul is writing this letter. And so with that background in mind, let's read on. Verse 6, For this reason, the reason of the faith that's been passed down through generations, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then that well-known verse, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Now, the word spirit there does not mean a spirit as in an angelic spirit or holy spirit or demonic spirit. In this context, it means an attitude of. And so what he's saying is God didn't give us an attitude of timidity or fear. What God has given to us is an attitude of power and of love and self-discipline. That literally means common sense. And I love that because I have met so many Christians over the years who pretend to be very spiritual but lack common sense. You know, when you're being really spiritual, you actually were full of common sense and you don't do silly, weird, bizarre things. And so here's this young man shrinking back because of opposition, and Paul reminds him to fan into flame. Remind yourself, he says. And the Greek word for remind there is fascinating. It actually means to call back to your memory all your memories of the amazing things that God has done in your life so far. So he said, I want you to go back, because he's talking about faith that's been passed down through generations. And now he's saying, I want you to go back through your life, Timothy, and I want you to call to mind all the amazing things that God has done in your life, all the incredible things you've seen, the times you've seen God heal and set free and bless and encourage. And I want you to call all those things to memory, because they're the things that will make you strong in the present and propel you into the future without shrinking back. And there is a wonderful principle there, because we're all tempted to shrink back and to hide from time to time, are we not? And it's at those moments of maybe doubt or confusion or uncertainty or timidity that we need to remind ourselves, wow, how God saved me, how he's forgiven me, that powerful encounter I had with the Holy Spirit as I was walking on a beach or at a particular church service, or when God spoke to me in an amazing way through his word. And I'm going to call all those things to mind. Wow, God, you're real, you're real, you're real, you're real, you're amazing. And that's the way you are, and you haven't brought me this far to let me down now. So you're going to hold me strong in the present, and you're going to propel me into a wonderful future. And that's what he's talking about here. God has not given to us a spirit of fear or timidity, but that of power and love and of self-discipline or common sense. And we need to fan into flame the gifts that God has given us so that we don't stop using them because of fear or timidity. Fan into flame. What a powerful picture that is of a fire that's just starting to dim out, and you don't want it to go out. And so you've got to do something to stoke it and to recharge it and to refuel it and to literally provide oxygen to it. So whew, off it goes again. Spiritual gifts can weaken with neglect. Do you have any gifts that you used to use, but these days they're a little weak, they're a little flabby, they've kind of atrophied a little? And what do you need to do in the present that is going to strengthen those gifts? One of the things you can do is recall your memories of the times you used those gifts, and then have a passion in your heart to fan into flame those gifts again and to release those gifts to serve God and to serve others. Number six. Spiritual gifts operate according to God's strength, not ours. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The strength that God provides. I've seen so many people over the years serving God, but relying on their own strength. If you're anything like me, your strength is a little up and down. You have some seasons where you feel strong and others where you feel quite lethargic. And especially this time of year, because it's such a busy time. And if you've got kids, so many demands, are there not? You know, all the things you've got to go to and be at and all this kind of stuff. And it's so important that we rely on the strength that God provides. I go into situations and just say, Lord, I need your strength for this. I'm feeling a little tired. I'm feeling a little weary. God, I need your strength for this. And it's amazing when you call on him, the strength that God provides. When you call him, you're going through a tough time. God, I need your strength to go through this. In my own strength, it'll come to an end. I'm weak. I need you. And it's the ultimate act of humility because I'm not a self-made man. You're not a self-made man or self-made woman. You are a God-made person and a God-strengthened person. Serve God with the strength that God provides. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. And here Paul says, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works within me. I love that. Here's Paul. He's working. He's struggling with God's energy. That's never going to run out. Ours is going to run out. God's won't. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's all about location in the original language. It's all about location. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's like a fish. A fish is okay as long as it's in the water. You take a fish out of the water and it's gasping. We've got a fish pond at the front of our house and there's about, I don't know how many fish are in there. I think it's about 11 or 12 little goldfish and they're swimming around and they're very happy in there. I feel sorry for them, especially in the winter. I'm looking at it, it must be freezing in that water, but they're happy. If I was in there, I would not be happy because that's not where I'm to be located. Isn't that right? But that's their location, so they're happy in there. You know, if I was lying underwater, I'd be gasping and then drowning. It wouldn't be good. But they're completely fine there because that's their location. And that's what this verse is talking about. It says, be strong in the Lord. Our location as Christian men and women, our natural habitat is to be immersed in him and in his mighty power. You take the fish out of the water, it's going to gasp. It's going to flap around trying to get back into the water. And if it doesn't get back in quickly enough, it's going to die. And we're like that. We're in the wrong location when we're not strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, then we wear out. And so where are you locating yourself? Because spiritual gifts operate according to God's strength and not ours. Number seven, spiritual gifts give us a glimpse of eternity. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 5, it talks about those who have tasted the powers of the age to come. Paul's running through, or sorry, not Paul, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, is running through a whole lot of qualities of the mature Christian. And he says the mature Christian has already tasted the powers of the age to come. He's talking about spiritual gifts. Every time you operate a spiritual gift, you are tasting something of the powers of the age to come. It's like a sneak preview. You know, in eternity, for example, we're all going to be healed. So you're not going to need the gift of healing in eternity. But right now, when someone's sick and you get the laying on of hands or prayer for healing and God goes, yep, and heals you supernaturally, that's a sneak preview of eternity. He's bringing eternity into the present and going, whew, there you go. You were sick, now you're better. That's what heaven's going to be like, except you'll never get sick. Amen. It's wonderful. It's like when you go to the cinema and you see the sneak previews of movies that are to come. Now, you know, some people like to rush into the cinema 15 minutes after the scheduled start time because they want to miss the commercials and the previews. But I want to be there bang on time. Am I in good company? I love the previews. The previews are good because you know what movies are coming up and you go, what? I'd like to see that. No, I don't want to see that. It looks terrible. And so you get to pick and choose what's coming up according to the previews. I took the three girls to see Puss in Boots yesterday. And if you haven't seen, it's very, very cool. It's, you know, it's the little pussycat from Shrek, the one that does that whole eye thing. I'd love to learn to do that. I'm sure I'd get my way more often. No? Okay. Need to do the without the glasses. It's cool. No? That's not working. Okay. I'll try with the youth and the regeners. Yeah? No. Anyway, Puss in Boots. And it was a really cool film. But the previews before, Happy Feet 2 is coming up with Robin Williams doing a couple of voices, and it looks really, really, really good. So during the holidays, we're going to see Happy Feet 2. And then they've got Tintin. Now, who grew up with The Adventures of Tintin? Isn't that exciting? So, you know, I mean, I remember watching Tintin, The Adventures of Tintin, in black and white back in the 60s. And that was really good stuff, but we got this whole 3D colour Tintin movie coming out. So we saw those sneak previews. What they showed us was maybe 60 to 90 seconds of some of the exciting grabs of those two movies that made you go, wow, that's coming up in the future. Wouldn't mind seeing that. That's what spiritual gifts are. They're a sneak preview going, wow, that's coming up in the future. I wouldn't mind a bit more of that. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would. I'm going to have to watch this online and see how ridiculous I just look. So don't do that again. All right, verse 8. And these three chapters, 12, 13, 14, all about spiritual gifts. Verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. So there's going to come a point in time where the prophetic gift will cease. Where there are tongues, the gift of tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, that's the message of knowledge or the word of knowledge, it will pass away. Why? For right now we know in part, we prophesy in part. Verse 10, but when perfection comes, it's talking about the eternal kingdom of God. When the eternal kingdom of God comes, the imperfect disappears. Spiritual gifts, as good as they are imperfect. They're just a little sneak preview. They're just a glimpse. When perfection arrives, we won't need the spiritual gifts anymore. Then he uses an illustration in verse 11. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. But then we will see face to face. So he's talking about second coming and the ushering in of the eternal kingdom of God. What he's saying is spiritual gifts are great, but they're like childish toys compared with what you're going to get one day in eternity. He says, now we see but a poor reflection. Then we're going to see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. So in eternity, you're not going to need a message of knowledge. You're not going to need God to go, you know, kind of download a little message and give you insight into something that you didn't know before, because in eternity, you're going to know everything about everything. And so you're not going to need something that's small when you get the whole, you know, big thing. It's like having a little dinky toy instead of a Hummer. That's what eternity's going to be like. It's a Hummer. Sometimes now is a bummer. But number 8, before I burst into a rap and embarrass myself even more. Spiritual gifts from God are always good. This is so important. James chapter 1, verses 16, 17. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So the heavenly lights, the sun particularly, the moon, stars to a lesser extent form shadows on earth and they shift through the day. But James says God is not like shifting shadows. He never changes, and every good and perfect gift comes from him and he never changes. I love that. We don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder how God is today. Is he a bit ticked because some of the things that are going on in the world or whatever? Is God in a bad mood? As our kids at our Kids Rock Camp earlier this year, wasn't it? In September this year. God is always in a good mood and God is always giving good gifts. Don't be deceived on that point, says James. Matthew 7, verses 9 to 11. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, and that doesn't mean evil as in despicable sort of evil, you know. This means less than good, or with the chance of being imperfect. Even though we are like that, we know how to give good gifts to our children. So how much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So important. I've met people over the years who have been told that, particularly about the gift of tongues, that one seems to come under attack on a regular basis. And I believe, because it's such a precious gift, as we looked at a few weeks ago, such a powerful gift, particularly in private use, that it really comes under attack. And I've met Christians that have been told by pastors and Christian teachers that gift is not only not for today, but it's of the devil. You know, I think that's dangerous. If you ask God for a good gift, is he going to give you a snake or a stone or a scorpion? No, he's going to give you a good gift. And so relax in the goodness of your God, because spiritual gifts from God are always good. Number 9, spiritual gifts once given are never taken away. Romans chapter 11 and verse 29 says God's gifts and his call are irrevocable because of the nature of a gift. How bizarre would it be if someone gave you a gift for Christmas, and particularly something that you've always wanted, and I mean that you've really always wanted, not you just said, oh, lovely, just what I always wanted, just because you're supposed to say just what I always wanted at every gift, and it's like another hanky or another pair of socks, but this is a gift that you really, really, really wanted. And they give you this gift and you're so happy with it and they leave it with you. And then in January, you have a knock at the door and it's the person who gave the gift. And they come back and they say, oh, by the way, I need to get that gift back. Yeah, exactly. Hey, that'd be bizarre. Well, no, you can't have the gift back. It's a gift. You gave it to me. It doesn't belong to you anymore. It's my gift. And no, but I want the gift back. I was only giving it to you for a month. Well, it's not a gift. It's a lend. No, it's bizarre. You'd never, ever do that. It would be weird. And so why do we think that God would be any different to that? When he gives a gift, it's a gift and it's yours and you get to keep it and use it no matter what happens in life. They are never taken away. But this can also be a scary thought, because you could actually think that you're okay in your Christian life because you still have that gift. And you're still able to operate that gift. Never think that your giftedness is an excuse for bad character or bad behavior. And I tell you what, give me character over giftedness any old day. I've seen it in my 25 years of pastoral ministry. Some amazingly gifted people that people are wowed by and look to. But if only they knew what they were really like behind the scenes, the lack of character and the bad behavior that goes with it, they just undo everything. And it's so sad. Give me character any old day. But isn't it wonderful when you get gifted people that also have wonderful character? It's great. Put the two together. Spiritual gifts once given are never taken away. Number 10, spiritual gifts are given for the need at hand. 1 Corinthians 12:31 tells us to earnestly desire the best gifts. That is the best gift for or gifts in any given situation. And so if someone is sick, well, what are some of the gifts that might be the best gift if someone's sick? Well, a gift of healing would be nice, wouldn't it? But, you know, we got to understand that God doesn't always heal everybody. And sometimes he doesn't heal people instantaneously. Sometimes healing is often a process. A miracle is instant. Healing is often a process. What are some of the other gifts then that we would need when someone is not well? Well, a word of wisdom might come in handy, because sometimes people are sick because they actually need to wise up in a particular area. I chatted with someone a while ago who said that they had to go in and have knee surgery, and in fact, two knee replacements. And you know, you didn't need a word of wisdom really for this person, because I know them very, very well. I was able to say, because they're actually carrying some excess weight. And so lovingly and gently and with a certain amount of fear and trepidation, I said, have you thought about losing some weight because you're putting so much extra pressure on your knees If you lost some weight, you actually might not need the surgery. And he said to me, yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right. And so now I'm holding him accountable to losing some weight. And so that's where wisdom comes in. Because sometimes people get sick or they have a need, but they're doing something silly. If you're not exercising or if you're not eating correctly and all of those, then you put yourself in a place where you could get sick more often. Okay? And so that's not to condemn anybody, but also we just need to wise up in some of those areas. When someone's sick, a gift of showing mercy is a wonderful thing. The gift of serving, as we have in our church, this wonderful ministry of hospitality with meals that so many of you have been recipients of over the years. When you unwell and you know that meals are going to be provided for you, yummy, delicious dinners on a regular basis to see you through your hard time. They are all spiritual gifts flowing in the body of Christ. And so earnestly desire the best gifts. And then number 11, spiritual gifts used properly get God's attention. I'd like you to turn to Acts 10 before we finish up. Spiritual gifts used properly get God's attention. This is the story of Cornelius. And in verse 1 of Acts 10, he says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. So this is an Italian guy. He's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. But look at the way this guy lived. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. That's the only thing he had to say. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? And Lord is probably not the best translation there because he's not referring to Lord as in Jesus because it's an angel. The best in our language would be sir. A term of respect. What is it, sir? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. And then you read the rest of chapter 10 of the book of Acts because it's a wonderful putting together of this man with Peter. And often wondered, you know, why the angel just didn't turn up and tell him the gospel. It would have been so much simpler. The job of sharing the gospel is not the job of angels, it's the job of people. And so this whole situation was orchestrated by an angel. And angel said to Cornelius, call for Peter. And meanwhile, Peter was having these visions on a roof to not call anything unclean that God had cleansed. In other words, the Gentiles were now clean and were able to come into the kingdom of God because of what Jesus had done on the cross. And so you read the rest of the chapter as Peter and some of his friends met up with Cornelius and his family and extended family and friends, and Peter shared the gospel, and the whole family gave their lives to Christ and were filled with the Holy Spirit. What an amazing story that is. This guy was a good man. He believed in God and he did good things, but he lacked something. He lacked salvation. But his goodness got God's attention. He was operating spiritual gifts even before he came to faith in Jesus Christ because his gifts got God's attention. How many good people like that do you know? I know a ton of them. We have an association with a lot of people like that as a church, and they love Bayside Church because of the work we do in the community. And their hearts are warmed because they're made in the image of God. And so they want to do good things. They want to make a difference in society. And there's a bucket load of people like that in this area and in Melbourne. Hundreds, probably thousands of people like that. Good living people believe in God, doing good things, and their good things will get God's attention. And God will move heaven and earth to connect people like that with Jesus the Saviour. I love the way the Message Bible puts it. Your prayers and neighborly acts have brought you to God's attention. Let's pray for people like that. We recognize people like that at our Christmas Star Award every year. People that are good people, doing good things, And let's pray for them that they come to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.